Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Voves, and this is the audio diary of my life. On the, I think it must be the 19th, is it? Yes, it is. So it's the 19th of November 2024, and it is a wet, miserable day. Of course it is. The farmers are on strike today. They're going down to London on a march here in the UK. They're making a stance of how unhappy they are with all the various directives from government, although quite why they're obeying anything from government and not turning their backs on them and becoming independent people of their own volition, I do not know. However, well, of course, we support the farmers in terms of what they do, although having read a lot of the farmers seem to be actually destroying the soil. In probably ignorantly, because they're not using fertility farming. Have you seen, lovely Julia, my slippers, my new slippers? Are they upstairs? Because they're not. They don't seem to be down here. Well, I will go upstairs.
Are you going upstairs to look for
them? Well,
I haven't actually seen them. I don't recall. You obviously looked in here.
Yes, I looked in there. My feet are, I've got my old slippers up here, but my new slippers are nice and snug and warm around my feet. Oh, you found them? Have I been man-looking? Was I man-looking?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. They were under the coffee table, which I kind of suspected. I don't know why.
Oh, I see. There we are. That's typical.
Probably because my brain couldn't remember having seen them upstairs. I was like, yes. Well, they must be under here then.
Well, I had a... Yes, I did kind of think, oh, they're under there. No, of course they're not under there. And that's where they were.
That's the way it goes.
Ah, dear, oh dear. So, anyway, let me read what it says in this lighting. This light, I've got one light bulb. It's a sort of daylight bulb. It's hideous. The hideous light. It's much better, this warmer light that you get from... The older fashioned type of lights on the old bulb, the luminance and all of that, you know, the colour temperature. Right, let us gather our loins and see what it says for the 19th here in our English year. And I'm still looking, I'm still trying to find another English year type book, diaries for next year to do. Anyway, Gilbert White, 1776, in Hampshire, says, this afternoon the weather, turning suddenly very warm, produced an unusual appearance, for the dew on the windows was on the outside of the glass, the air being warmer abroad than within. And John Everett Millay in 1851, I don't think we've had him before, maybe we have, in Surrey, says, fearfully cold, landscape trees upon my window panes. After breakfast, chop wood, and after that, painted ivy. See symptoms of a speedy finish to my background. After lunch, pelted down some remaining apples in the orchard, read Tennyson and the 39 Articles, as opposed to the 39 Steps by John Buchan. And that is all that's in the Dear Diary. Thank you very much for... participating. How are you? You look very secretary-like this morning.
Do I?
Sitting on the little poof with your... And he doesn't mind either.
No, he's done nothing about.
With your little...
pad of paper.
Pad and pen.
Fountain pen?
And fountain pen, yeah.
Fountain pen.
Or taking notes, are you?
Yeah, I'm sure there was something else that needed to go on my to-do list.
Oh, yes. What have you got to do today?
Got letter writing.
Yes.
Look into Fishbourne Roman Palace.
Oh, yes.
I intend to take them there Friday. Don't forget to take cravat for my mama on Friday.
Oh, yes.
And some stuff to order.
Oh, yes.
Including Shelby Wood Company firelighters.
Oh.
Brilliant, aren't they?
Shelby Wood firelighters.
Yes.
Is a company that makes firelighters.
Yes, out of wood.
Out of wood. And they cover in wax. Yeah. And it's... that little piece of wood with wood chips,
yeah,
wood
I think
shavings.
They call it wood wool.
Ah, wood
I
wool, yes. Like wire wool, but made of wood.
Yeah, and then slightly waxed.
So no paraffin or anything like that, covered in beeswax, And then you just light those and shove them in the fire, and they slowly take, and then they catch your kindling.
Was it the year before last that we went to that lovely Airbnb for my birthday with the VW?
Oh, yes.
Camper van. In
Where did we go last year? I think that was it, wasn't it?
No.
Oh.
Wasn't it? Oh, no. You might be right. I have to go and look on the English couple channel.
Yes, and then we had a walk up into, that was near Slindon.
That's right, yeah.
I think that was last year.
Was it only then? Because that's where we discovered this particular type of fire lighters.
Yes, because they had them.
Yeah. So we took one look at them and thought, oh, I don't know how good that's going to be. Tried them out, was like, oh my gosh, they're amazing. I'm going to get some for Richard.
Yes, I didn't realise when we first saw them they were covered in wax. And then, of course, you think, ah, yes, wax. Well, wax with a wood, with a fuel, or the wood with the fuel, whichever it is, whichever way you want to express it, worked very well. As indeed it did. Anyway, that was that. Do you want another drink or anything? You got time?
I think we have. Got time.
Got time? I'll go and brew one up.
Lovely, thanks.
And a pleasure. Pleasure. So we were yesterday in the evening, we had a lovely steak, but it wasn't as lovely as you might think. It came from Riverford's.
It did.
And
it looked very, very nice in the packet, didn't it?
Mm.
It looked very nice, and
we cooked it up.
A bit small, but.
And what kind of steak was it again?
It was braising steak.
Braising steak, but not chopped.
Not chopped.
Like we often get.
Yeah, from Charlie's. But no, this was definitely not chopped, and.
Not as good.
It wasn't actually as good as I was anticipating.
No.
Farm shop meat is much better.
Well, Charlie's farm shop.
Our favourite farm shop meat is much better.
We have two favourite farm shops, but one is up near Nuneaton.
Nuneaton, what's it called? The Butchery at the Cow Shed at Gorse Farm, something like that.
Yeah, there we go, that one. It's a bit long to go. It's far enough to go to Charlie's, sort of 8 mile round trip, a 16 mile round trip. Yes, right. Do you want me to top that one up or?
I'll just glug the last.
Glug it. So, yes, so we had that, and so, yes, Riverford's, and unfortunately, in that test, was it cheaper or more expensive?
I think it was a little more expensive than Charlie's Farm Shop.
There you go. More expensive, had to wait for it to arrive, and not as nice.
No.
Whereas Charlie's, okay, you've got to go there to get it, but it's fresh off the cow. They say which bit you want, and they carve it straight off the cow.
Thankfully, it's not quite like that.
No, but we did have a lovely steak the other day, which was carved off a great chunk of meat, didn't he? He had a great chunk of meat, and he said, oh, I'll just carve you off this bit, and he did chop it. It wasn't a cow. I mean, it was a cow, obviously, at some point in its life. It was a piece of cow that had been processed, but not processed as in, you know, machine processed. It had been hung, drawn and quartered. Whatever it is that you do with blooming cows. Anyway, Charlie's meat, I have to say, is sublime. Sublime. It is absolutely divine. So I too was disappointed. Anyway, I think we've stretched that point for as long as we can make it. But that is because, theirs may not be organic, technically, but they do stay on the farm. And they are grass-fed. They don't go anywhere to be fattened up like some organic meat can. So that's interesting. We were reading last night about... We were reading last night our book on fertility farming. And so, so very interesting. The experiments that this chap did, I can't remember his name now. And you just think, why... When this was published in 1957, and he could dispense with the plough, and he could farm effectively the no-till method. And I mentioned that yesterday before Charles Dowding and the others sort of cashed in on it. Why was the industry not going, yeah, this is great? And why were farmers carrying on with the artificial fertilisers, the pesticides, the herbicides, and all of these things, when if you do it right... The crop is getting the right nutrients and therefore has its own natural defence against all the pests, and so you don't lose them. And he did various experiments, one of which was a field, I forget what the crop was, and there was one bit that he couldn't plough, this corner of a field. And he said, oh, it was one bit, it's just too hard or it was too rough. And so this corner of the field, as an experiment, he just sowed the seeds on them. He just shoved some, whatever you call it, compost over the top, and he just let nature take its course. I'm looking for the coffee, but I put the microphone on the coffee, so I couldn't see the coffee. And so whatever the crop was, grew. The other part of the field had all been ploughed, and the compost, had been ploughed in. And so, as he said, the problem was that you plough in the compost so that it's 6 to 9 inches below the roots of the crop that you're trying to plough, that you're trying to plant. Why can't I speak in a coherent fashion? Stick the internet on.
Right, back to bed for us.
Yeah, sorry. Got out the wrong side, clearly. Anyway, the point was the bit that was no-tilled grew like buggery, grew incredibly well, because it was following nature, and the other bit that he ploughed was stunted and didn't grow very well because they'd cut the soil up, they'd aerated it, they'd buried, and actually all you do with the ploughing is when you turn the soil over like they do, all the weeds that you've turned over last year, you turn it back over. They're now back at the top. The seeds, which have just lied dormant, suddenly spring up and they all go wildfire. Does any of that make sense? I don't feel like I've actually explained myself.
It did make some sense. It did make some sense.
Oh, good.
Just hope not. Just deep breath.
Anyway, I've got my coffee. I'm going back in the other room now. Off you pop.
Get out of the way.
Oh, I thought you were going to try to trip me up.
No.
I walked down into town yesterday in the wet, inclement weather to go and see a chap about a present for Julia. Can't say any more than that. Mm-hmm. And also to go and get some cat food from the little independent cat food shop. Well, it does other animals. It's a pet food and whatever. Is that supposed to go back that far?
Yeah, it's Sable.
Oh. That's Julia's laptop, which...
is lucky, because that's kind of how I perch him on my lap.
Oh, I see.
He's in the car as an office.
Yeah, when you're driving?
No.
No.
When I'm at my own pause.
Oh, yes. Stuff. Oh, I see, as your office, yes. I'm just clarifying it for the viewer, the viewing listener.
The viewing listener.
Anyways, I went down there. I happened to go towards the cat food shop, and there were these guys out there with their chugga-chuggas, you know, trying to catch money off people, getting money for charity. And there was four of them, I think, all black guys. And two of them were very tall. And this one stopped me and he started to talk to me. And I said, hey, slow down, mate, because they know their script backwards at this point. They'd come from London and they knew their script and they're going, hey, yeah, can I talk to you about this? And I said, hey, slow down. I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. So he slowed down, but even then he was still talking fast. This is the trouble. People don't slow down enough. They're so desperate to get their point over that actually they just alienate people by that. So I said, slow down, calm down, and I'll listen. And I listened to what he was talking about. And he was basically, I said, if you're collecting money, then I'm not going to be any use to you. And he said, no, it's not about collecting money. We're da 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 da. It's just a one-off payment.
So you're collecting money then?
So, exactly, that's what I said to him. So you are collecting money. He said, yeah, but we're not taking your bank balance, we're not taking your credit card, we're not doing all those things. I said, but you're still taking money. And I said, well, and I said, how tall are you? He said, 6'4". I said, oh, what do you want to do? You know, because he said he was 20 and he said the company he was working for had helped him and this is what they were trying to collect money for. And I said, well, what do you want to do with your life? And he said, I want to be a basketball player. So I switched the conversation immediately. I said, good for you. good for you. I said, that sounds amazing. I said, you've got the right height for it. I bet you're very good at it. He said, well, I do. I'll go training, this, that, and that. And I said, well, you go and follow your dream. Don't let anyone put you off. Follow your dream. Keep it in the foremost and you will succeed. Anyway, I was telling him all this positive stuff and he was sort of lightening up. And I said, look, you know, I know you've got this dead-end job. You're here in Worthing on a wet, miserable day trying to collect money. It's probably not what you want to do. And I could see in his face that that was true. And I said, look, I'm not going to be much cop to you because I never give money to people collecting in the street. That's just me. And he went, no, that's all right. I said, but you stick to your dream because this will pass and you will, you know, you will find other things and other avenues. And if you believe in what you're doing, you will get there. Now, I don't know whether he will or not, because he may give up and do other things and discover all sorts of things. But it he was quite well touched by that, by somebody who'd listened to him and given him a bit of positive response, even though he didn't collect any money. And then I shot off quickly and went to get this cat food and then walked back. So that was
a thing.
That was a thing. I've got an itchy armpit. Bloody fleas everywhere. So so that was yesterday, and I did a little bit more writing. I was struggling with the writing in the morning, but when I came back from the walk, of course, you know, exercise, getting the blood circulating, the body, the fresh air into you, the being out and about, I came back much more invigorated, and then was able to write. The scene that I was struggling with just seemed to flow and became quite comic, which was nice, because I wanted to have a somewhat comic relief version to it rather than bogging people down with the details of what the sequence was about. So that was a nice thing. And then, of course, Julia turned up and we cooked together, which was lovely. And then we had a nice evening. Some evenings we'll watch an old film, but not all the time, of course. And then we shall... Well, what did we do? I can't really remember. We chatted a lot. You went out for a walk with a cat.
Oh, yes, that's right. So I discovered he'd been floozing it up the road with the...
Yeah, some other neighbour.
There's a block of... flats. Well, apartments, temporary accommodation apartments at the end of the road. Found out because I was talking to the fellow who's been befriending Mojo.
Yes.
A.k.a. Patchy.
And, yes, he was calling him Patchy, the
Not
cat.
Not just him, but all the people who live in there.
And the feeding him treats. So he must have gone out and bought the treats.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a funny thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you see a regular cat and you think, oh, I'll go to probably to the supermarket nearby and purchase the treats, treats.
The trouble is people in this particular country, they just don't know what a neglected animal really looks like.
No.
They see an animal that's out of, you know...
On its own,
in a place they've not seen an animal before, and they think, oh, it must be, you know, it's come back again and again and again, it must be homeless or neglected or hungry. And, of course, cats are cats. They will beg for food anywhere.
Yeah, especially if you look kind and what have you and you've got some in your hand, they'll have it. Now, before we go, put your headphones on. Because I forgot, and I just suddenly saw this. This is something that Julia did yesterday with her children, and they absolutely loved it.
Nice. Session of it.
But if you've got headphones, now's the time to put them on.
Will this microphone pick it up?
Yeah, because it's a stereo microphone.
Oh.
So there'll be, you know, it'll be like
it's
each
like
ear.
Two ears either side.
Yes, so here we go. Stand by.
Do it from that way.
What?
Do it from that way.
That way.
That way, that's it.
And you get a lorry in the background at the same time, just to give you sort of grounding.
And that's how Richard does sound bathing.
Yes. I was bathed in the sound. So what are they, you might ask? You might go, blimey, what was that? Well, you've got some special... Have you spent a fortune on some special things? Have I just dented them?
possibly.
Oh. they are silver-plated goblets.
Drinking goblets.
Drinking goblets that we purchased from a second-hand shop about 8 months ago or something.
Yeah.
And they've been sitting on the shelf. We did try to drink from them, but it tastes a bit weird.
Yeah, even with water, it just tastes funny. I think it's whatever the metal is underneath the silver that...
It looks like the silver in there is coming off.
So they're beautiful, and they're very tactile, and they make gorgeous sounds. But no good for drinking.
No good for drinking. So there you go. Anyway, we've got to get on because Julia's got to head off and we need to go down to a little shop before she does that. So I need to go make my other video. So I'm going to get this up online. Thank you very much for listening. Until the next exciting adventure into the naked English man and woman. Toodle Pippin.
Have a lovely day.